really approach of Batman. It's really exciting.
Bruce Wayne, Esquire?
I'm Batman.
I am the Prince.
Greetings, Interdimensional Travelers, and welcome to Superstitious and Cowardly, a Batman podcast for the ward and us all. I'm your host, hailing from the fifth dimension, Chris Winia. And with me, as always, is that strange, incredible hulking creature, John Pfeiffer.
Rawr!
Not angry, I hope. And unfortunately, our little pod tyke Ryan is all tuckered out and taking a nap.
Oh, the little baby.
So we kind of alluded to it last episode, but since we last recorded, there's been a movie that came out. That's controversial, to say the least. And I know that you didn't really want to talk about it, but I think that we should take our time and discuss this. You know, it's making a good amount of money despite getting rather bad reviews.
Do we have to?
We have to. I think it's time we talk about Daddy's Home 2. And I know that there's been some controversy over Mel Gibson being
John
in a comedy.
Lithgow. I can't believe the nerve on that
guy. Well,
game.
I mean, you saw Raising Kane. You saw him kill those people. The jury's still out on if he's an alien or not. But, I mean...
Joseph Gordon-Levitt says he isn't.
Well, Joseph Gordon-Levitt was probably the worst Robin because he wasn't one. I love that whole idea that, like, Nolan was whole lot. He was like, oh, man, you know what'd be great? You know what comic book fans would love to see? A little bitty reference to something that they actually want to see.
Yeah, we could give them something they want, or we could allude to a shittier version of that.
It's kind of like when Man of Steel was coming out. They were talking about, like, in the sequel, there was going to be... They're going to change Jimmy Olsen to Jane Olsen. And she was going to be, like, a romantic interest for... Yeah, I remember reading this, and it was like...
You guys can't hear it, but my face changed into a very strong grimace.
And she was going to be, like, this romantic, like, rival to Lois Lane and stuff. And it's like, well, first off, there's one a character called, the, like, Cat Grant. That's what she was.
Yeah.
That's what she came in as. But at the same time, it's like, and then you look at what happened in like Batman v Superman where they have Jimmy Olsen and he gets shot in the beginning. It's like, which one would have been better? Actually, I really like the fact that they did that. It was a nice little nod. If they weren't going to use him, they had something
might as well
to do.
Kind of get rid of him.
Well, not get rid of him, but like, he went out like a fucking champ.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Instead of just going, oh no, there's trouble afoot. I better use my watch.
I was going to say, a little communicator watch that calls my buddy Superman, my pal. Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. How does he get an ongoing comic? How long that run, by the way?
Fairly long.
Jeez.
I was going to make a joke about how he'd get into like the Wonder Wagon because I've only read the Jack Kirby New God stuff with Jimmy Olsen. But
he did New God stuff with Jimmy Olsen?
Yeah, it was his way of when he came, he looked at like the only, he was going to, somebody was going to lose their title so that they could make room for his. And so he noticed that the only people that didn't have like a writing team on it was Jimmy Olsen, my pal Jimmy. So he's just like, I'll just do it in there. So it's his way of like getting a comic without firing anybody. But also he got to play with Superman too.
That's actually a pretty fun idea.
Basically, the whole comic is just him and the sons of the news of characters that he made like in the 40s traveling around in this big super wagon and fighting a bunch of mutants. And like the comic is always, we don't need Superman to do anything. Well, let's get Superman over here to save us.
That sounds like a very Jack Kirby thing to do, of having like a battle wagon and roaming around.
Darkseid's really first appearance is always listed as being in Jimmy Olsen, Superman's pal.
I love that. I really do. I need to get into New God stuff, and you are the person that's going to have to introduce me to that, considering your experience with Jack Kirby New God.
You could probably just read the pact and...
I'd probably read the Wikipedia page. And
you could, well, no, you could read, like, there's a comic called The Pact, and there's one that's just Mr. Miracle-centered. It's all the mythology you really need to know is in those two issues, because they're, like, fucking packed.
Like 70 pages or something crazy.
But we didn't come here to discuss that. We came here to discuss what we discussed. Why don't you tell people what we came here to discuss?
Detective Comics 267, Superman ripoff appears in Batman Meets Batmite. And then look at those whittle toes and Batman becomes Bat Baby. That's Batman 147. And Batman changes once again in Batman 162, Batman Creature.
All right, well, let's take a quick break so I can read those and get ready.
This is Detective Comics 267, Batman Meets Batmite.
But first, let's look back, aroused, at the news of the day, May 1959. May 19, the Ho Chi Minh Trail was established and would be central in the growing war, I mean police action, in Vietnam. The conflict would kind of end in 1975. They also sent a couple of spider monkeys into space on the 29th. Also a curiosity.
Really? And who's they?
Spacemen.
Okay.
So something I kind of found that was a bit of a curiosity. May 31, 1959. I'm just going to read this. Usually I do the high school report card thing. Mm-hmm. Report where you find a source and you take all the information of it, but you like twist the sentence around so it's not verbatim.
They call it plagiarism, but yeah, sure.
No, I mean, history is nothing but facts. Anyway, so I'm just going to read exactly what I found. Memorial Day weekend closed at midnight and was counted as a two-day holiday weekend for the last time, with May 30th falling on a Saturday. This is where it gets crazy. The accidental death toll broke the record for a 54-hour weekend. And the 310 traffic fatalities recorded by the National Safety Council from 6 p.m. Friday to midnight Sunday far exceeded the 1953 record of 241. There were 150 more accidental deaths, including 101 drownings, for a total of 460 deaths in a 54-hour period.
What was the cause of that?
I have no idea. That's why I did, because it was so crazy that apparently a bunch of people died.
Was it just everyone drinking and dying?
I think that's what they're implying.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Detective Comics 267. First, we have Roy Raymond in The Mystery of the Magic Sea by Reuben Sandwich. I mean, Sandwich. Next, the Manhunter from Mars is confronted with the opportunity to get home, which I guess isn't a dead husk at this point, in John Jones, Farewell to Earth by Jack Miller and Joe Serta. Dun, 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 dun. That's a dead meme. Now it's time for Batman Meets Batmite by the Fingers Gang of Bill, Sheldon, and Paris.
Man, that Paris boy.
Yeah, you never hear about Sheldon or Paris, but they're always doing this stuff.
No kidding. I have an appreciation for Paris now.
It's a lovely city.
All right, let's look at that cover. It looks like Batman pooped his pants when you look at that cover. Like, he's just like, oh. Like,
kind of does, actually.
Kind of pooped himself a little bit there. Robin's like, oh, someone moved around the Batcave, which is hyphenated. And then it says that Batmite's on the cover and he's wearing his very now kind of classic outfit. It's like pajamas that are too big on him, but his name's hyphenated too. Batmite's not hyphenated anymore, but anything else Bat-related. There you go.
So now that we're done talking about the cover, let's talk briefly about Batmite. You know those things that I tend to do? Hey, John, you know how last issue the editors looked at Crypto and said, well, we'll have one of those? Well, they decided to do that again with their own version of Mr. Mitzi Pitlick. But instead of being a trickster that enjoyed making Superman look stupid, Batmite was a fanboy who would try to help Batman and Robin, only to get in their way. Like Alfred when he was first introduced, and a number of bubbling sidekicks of the era. He made a decent amount of appearances in his five years, around 20 or so, including a few team-ups with Mr. Mixy and World's Finest. He joined Ace, Batwoman and Batgirl in comic book limbo when the New Look era started, again, something that we'll be talking about in a future issue. Post-Crisis, Batman showed up a few times post-Crisis. Have you heard about him?
I didn't know.
Obscure character with...
I thought we just made up an original character, and that's what this podcast was about.
With 17 ongoings at a time.
I thought the last 10 episodes were us just making up stories.
Post-Crisis on Infinite Earths. Have you ever read Crisis on Infinite Earths?
I have. It's been a while, but...
Isn't there a bit, I don't know if this is true or if I'm imagining it, isn't there a bit where he, like, goes... They try to explain how it's possible for them to destroy all the infinite multiverses at the same time. It's like, actually, it's entirely possible because he's doing it all exponentially. But it's like, you'd never destroy everything.
I think it's just supposed to be like, well, it's just a different... It's probably some flash science where it's a different vibration.
Flash effect.
Yeah. It's one of those.
So Batmite first showed up in Legends of the Dark Knight, where he was an apparent hallucination of a drug-addled hobo named Bob Overdog. Bob returned in a one-shot parody called Nightfall, well, Mightfall, which was a parody of Nightfall. An Elseworld called World's Funniest features Mr. Mixy and, because I'm not saying that again, and Batmite going through the multiverse trying to prove to the other which one was better.
Batman, are they supposed to be like from the same dimension or planet or whatever?
Yes.
Okay.
Most post-crisis say that he is. This one says he's from the Mite dimension, but he might be lying. So let's pause so that everybody can laugh at that joke, and I can find where I was because I just lost it. Batmite also showed up in Joseph Loeb's run on Batman and Superman, where it was revealed to be connected to the Emperor Joker storyline. And like last issue, Batmite also shows up during Grant Morris's RIP storyline, where he seems to act as crazy Bruce Wayne's voice of reason. At the end of his appearance, it is implied, I said implied, yeah, but like no one's going to see that, so I don't know why I did that.
Hey, John, add a laugh track at that for me.
That he was all in Bruce's heads, but like most of the comics, it's also so vague that he might have been real all along. But aren't these all imaginary stories? Outside of comics, Batmite showed up in the 1977 Filmation Batman series and had a brief cameo in Batman TAS.
Does he?
The animated series, as an animatronic toy. It's like super.
But it's not New Adventures of Batman Robin. He's Batman Adventures.
Yeah. The animated, he shows up and he's like, I'm Batmite, your pal, and then he breaks. He also annoyed Batman in The Brave and the Bold, where his voice by Pee Wee Herman. His grim and gritty film debut is still in the works, I'm sure.
The day they do that, I feel like that's when DC Cinematic Universe is back on track.
Right?
As odd as that sounds.
Well, the problem is that they're going like all Dark Knight with these movies.
And they can't.
And Marvel's already doing that shit. Go for the fun stuff. Isn't that why the TV shows are so popular? Because they're just kind of fun, aren't they? I don't know. I haven't watched any of them.
Well, we already admitted we don't watch Gotham.
Yeah, at all.
Not even a little. I tried watching 20 minutes
of it. But, you know what I found out? Season 2 onward, guess who gets credit as a creative Batman?
Bill Finger.
Yep. All right, so let's do this fucking thing. We get our splash page after being insulted by somebody who wants to sell us an exercise equipment.
I gained 60 pounds of muscles in my wiener.
Of handsome, hard-hitting muscles. So they are fighting on a giant record player, because as we knew at this time, Gotham is full of giant versions of things.
Giant record player, giant set of molecules. Yes, movie set, Batman.
Movie sets that are...
Giant Batman robot things, whatever.
Acting dragons. So let's move on, because it's not boring. Okay, so we are at Wayne Manor. So they go into the Batcave, and it's all messed up, and guess what? Batmite's there.
Let's go downstairs. We're going to go on our weekly patrols. And as soon as they go down into the Batcave, they're already changed before they notice anything's different. And as soon as they change...
Looking very tubby, too, when they're changing.
Yeah, a little bit. And Batman notices, well, my utility belt's on the ground. I didn't do that there. I threw it out of the window in a heat of passion, saying I never need it again when I was, you know, fiddling dick.
Oh, hurry, Nettie. They're awful.
You just be ready with that garbage bag.
Why'd you add fiddling dick to that? That was not in the original.
Because it's a dick. And then...
Oh, okay, I get it.
I really like that Robin knows things are wrong,
too. I suppose
too.
I can't really, like, tell you not to do that, because that is the podcast.
It is,
it is, at this point. I mean, we got a little while before he leaves. It's going to be hard times.
Batman knows his belt's obscure.
Following a Jason toddler.
Boo.
And let's go duck hunting with that Drake.
You're not going to let me do this joke, am I? Are you? But Dick notices that his radio belt is opened, and he notices that he always keeps it closed to keep dust out. You have a high-functioning electronic. Batman's gone to a different planet. You have a jet that can land on rooftops, no problem. But you have worried about dust in a little bat radio? Like, how can't science just explain this away? It's a weird fact to put into a comic book to write that in there. You're taking up space on the page to write to keep dust out.
Yeah, but they always, like, do shit like that. They always over-explain it. Like, we're going to have an issue where
Kathy Kane,
Kathy Kane's like, oh, Dick is opening up the secret compartment in his heel to summon the Bat Hound to help us in this case. I wonder what... It's like, you don't need to fucking say that. It's just that he's... You don't need to say where it's located at.
Speaking of Kathy Kane, I can't wait to talk about her when we talk about Bat Baby.
We're barely getting through this. We're having
such a hard time. I don't know. I think it's the issue itself. But they notice everything else in the cave's askew. All their laboratory equipment's different. And all of a sudden, they hear a voice that's invisible to them saying that, I was really into all your stuff, and I was just having a really fun time. And it's Batmite, who looks like he belongs in Mad Magazine.
Yeah, that's fair.
Is that fair? Yeah,
I could see him being the Mad Magazine parody.
I can't do his voice, though. The hey!
You never talk like that.
I'm not an elf. I come from another dimension, where all men are my size. Batman. I've observed and admired your exploits for years, so I decided to help you fight crime with my unearthly powers. Won't that be fun?
Think of Batman from Planet X, and it's the same reasoning that Batmite has. I've seen you from afar, and I just happen to know everything, and the difference is he's omnipotent.
So Batman tells him to fuck off, and he's like, oh, I'll be around, and he disappears. And they're like, that was weird, let's go out.
He doesn't really tell him that. He's like, it'd be impossible to explain who you are, so sorry, we can't, bye. And they go and head out, but Batmite is being a little dick, and he's just invisible hanging out in their car.
So they run into, what's his name?
Niels Finley, I think?
Tipper Neely.
Tipper.
Tipper Neely, before he married Al Gore. And he stops their car. They run onto a bridge, and Batmite is so scared that they're gonna stop the chase early,
and they're being too efficient. Like he wants to have
they're
more
being
fun
too
at
efficient
it.
That he makes the bridge go. What's that wobbly bridge that they had
and all the
old footage?
I cannot remember the name of that
doing
bridge.
It with my hand. Anyways, he makes the bridge shake up and down. So that it's harder for them to fight.
Think of throwing a slinky around horizontally. It's kind of wobbling like that, just these waves.
Yeah, it's
up and
down.
Up and down.
It's a wave pool, but you're on a bridge.
Batman instantly thinks, okay, this has got to be the work of this creature. This creature, Batmite. So what he does is, okay, I got to end this early. And he just hops up and down this bridge and kind of matches the pattern of the waves. That's what they imply anyway. And then while he jumps up, he punches the guy in the face. They subdue all the crooks, and all the crooks are like, what the hell just happened? I don't understand. This is the weirdest thing ever. And Batman, fearing having to explain things to just criminals and to nobody else, just goes, it must have been the chemicals this company's been dumping into the river. Like, that should be the real case of the issue, not stopping these crooks, but why is this company dumping chemicals into the river? But he's just like, oh, it's the fumes, and the crooks are very much like, absolutely, Batman wouldn't lie to us. He only jails us.
I wouldn't like to go swimming in there. I'd become some type of green-haired ghoul, huh? Let's go to jail. So they yell at Batmite, and he's just like, I was just having fun, everybody. I forgot which voice I used.
And you have to leave. You can't be here. You're a burden. And what Batmite does again is just turn invisible. And for some reason, Batman doesn't question this too much. He says he's a pest, and he's probably looking out for him, but he doesn't worry that much.
Batmite is also in the trophy room, and we see the giant T-Rex, which I guess we missed, and the giant penny.
I didn't notice the penny in the background. It's so big behind him that it just looked like part of the cave wall to me.
And pennies are usually very small. So they're standing there, and they say that the bat signal is on our telescreen.
Doesn't that defeat the purpose of the signal?
Exactly.
Why not just introduce the bat phone at this point? We just have a camera watching at the night sky, and we're hoping we're pointing in the right direction of the light, and that's all it is. But they see the bat signal, and they know that they're needed, and somehow they know where to go without actually meeting the cops.
Well, I'm assuming that he went to Gordon's.
That's a lot of wasted time. Why not actually use the police in this? This isn't a supernatural thing. There's no super criminal. This is an actual time where the cops can do their job. Legitimately.
But actually, the funny thing is that, they sent out the signal, right? But when they bust in on the crooks, who are all wearing masks, by the way. There's no reason for that. They're just crooks. But he says to them, it's not such a perfect crime. You tricked a burglar alarm. So,
I guess,
what happened here?
How were they there that long that Batman and Robin could go from Wayne Manor, that's way out in the boons, go to police headquarters or wherever they're meeting the cops, find out where it is, and then head over there, shouldn't they be gone by that point? That's enough time. They should have been able to get away with whatever they wanted to steal. Oh, by the way, they want to steal stuff out of this giant, weird museum for audio technology, giant tape players.
They say it's an exposition hall for a hi-fi show. So there's giant tape machines where you can delete the tape on it, expletive deleted, and then a bunch of record players. And of course,
vacuum tubes are everywhere. And it's not just models, it's working equipment that's just very big.
Well, they never really say that. But anyways, let's go on. Batmite, this is a cursed episode. Batmite swings him onto a giant record, and Batman swings onto it and punches their dicks off.
Batman swings up to it by jumping onto the tape player that actually moves. It's a working machine. I'm proving my point.
Okay, fair enough.
So the crooks are spinning on this record going, oh no, what's happening? And like you said, Batman jumps up there. He seduces the crooks, and the crooks do the same thing as the ones that were on the bridge. What's the explanation for this? And Batman just says, "Oh, the record player spun really quick, and it flew up in the air because that makes sense of a working giant model of a record player." And the crooks are like, "Oh yeah, totally makes sense. I understand science."
So Batmite shows up, and Batman says the creepiest thing ever. "Listen, you little scamp, you've got to cut out all this mischief. You hear me? Cut it out or I will spank you."
Yeah, and I kind of glossed over that before. He said the spank thing early in the issue. He said it twice. He really wants to spank somebody.
He's got a hankering for that spankering.
Apparently slapping dick around isn't enough for him anymore. He's escalating.
So Batmite disappears again. And decides that they find out that this gang's going to go through an empty warehouse. So Batmite decides to fill it with a bunch of stupid shit so they can have more fun.
Yeah, like, well, this is going to be way too boring.
Apparently Bill Finger and he wants them to fight on giant things.
So there's a giant Viking sailing boat, a huge globe, a fake Sphinx, a giant Batman statue. And when the crooks are running through, and Batman and Robin have been waiting there, I guess just around a bunch of stuff, and they don't mention anything about it, everything's in the way, and Batman and Robin have to fight these crooks on this equipment.
So they decide to get away by jumping onto the Viking ship, which is on wheels. Somehow it gets out of the door, even though it's massive, and so they decide to get Batmite to make the giant Batman into a robot, I guess?
Does Batmite technically orchestrate them getting away, too? No, that's on their own.
That's on their own.
That's on their own. Okay. It's just Batmite so stupid that I couldn't believe either one. So Batman instructs Batmite specifically of how to make up for the mistake and to stop these crooks. That giant Batman statue that we saw in an earlier panel, they instruct him to make it come to life, and they hide in his belt buckle, and they have the giant Batman just grab the Viking ship and shake the crooks out to their death. They probably plummet, like, what, two stories? And the crooks are like, "Oh, I guess Batman has a giant robot." And everyone's like, "Yeah, that makes sense. Science."
They yell at Batmite to fuck off. And he's like, "All right, goodbye for now." He's like, "Oh, no, he's going to come back."
And then
several times.
And Batman just kind of looks to camera again. They've been doing a lot of looks to cameras in a lot of the issues that we've been reading. And I hope not. And you just kind of hear, like, a womp womp.
And then we get an advertisement for Tootsie Rolls, which has become customary. I'm going to read it. It's a terrifying-looking clown who's very angry-looking. It says, "A great circus clown they called Andy, whose antics are sure fun and dandy, said the smile that you see is not painted on me. It's because I eat Tootsie Roll candy." And then he...
I want Captain Tootsie back.
And then he moved to Maine and terrorized some children there.
I prefer the one with John Ritter. I love that one, the John Ritter version. I can't read it. If you can't tell, we rather talk about what little we know about it as opposed to Batmite, which is really unfortunate for Batmite because I do like reading him. It's just this, I guess this is the first appearance of him, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure that he wasn't in a different one. Batmite becomes fun for me to read. His introduction to me is just kind of, he's an imp and there's nothing else to it. And it's just more annoying to me than anything else. There was Dan Jurgens wrote a 6-issue mini for Batmite about a year and a half ago, something like that. And it was really fun. And Batman is barely in it. He's like he does a cameo where he's driving past and that's about it. And all Batmite does is solve a abduction and saves Hawkman at the same time. And it's fantastic. It's super fun. Overall, as much crap as I gave it, what did you think of it?
It was fine, but at the same time, I just don't care. How's this one? No, it's great. So let's go on to that next great issue.
Batman 147, Batman Becomes Bat Baby.
But first, extra, read all about it.
Newspaper Joey.
May 10th, Mothra debuts in the USA. What?
I didn't expect you doing Mothra jokes.
Of course I was. I was expecting you to go, is that it? All right, so May 7th, Attorney General Robert Kennedy meets with 3 CIA officials who warn him against his current investigations into organized crime, revealing that they had offered a hit on Cuban head honcho Fidel Castro, GTX, to various mobsters. The meeting would be revealed to the public in 1975. May 9th, Lee Harvey Oswald is issued a U.S. visa, allowing him readmittance into the United States. He had defected to the United...
No one can hit me. I got a shield. No one can hit me with their magic bullets.
He had special wizard armor in the Soviet Union in 1959. Also, there are at least 7 atomic tests this month from the USA alone.
Is that where the Hills Have Eyes kind of comes into play?
I guess.
Man, that movie scares me.
Since there isn't a lot of the usual garbage I do, I looked up the price of these issues on eBay. Last issue is listed for $50 to $80 for a shitty copy, and $200 to $600 for a CGC graded issue. So these issues, we have a clean sweep. All the stories are written by Bill Fingers, with pencils by that young Sheldon Moldoff, and inks by Charles Paris. All credit still given to Sugar Daddy Kane. In the Plans of Plunder, a new criminal faction is committing crimes using crazy plants. Batman and Robin chase them down to find the real plant master. Or should I say mistress? Sad that we missed the first appearance of Poison Ivy, John?
I didn't know that we did.
So well, don't be, because it's actually an alien that caused all the problems.
Oh, that's...
It wasn't her at all.
That's disappointing.
Next issue, Batman races to discover the secrets of Mystery Island. That's such a stupid title. It seems the race is afoot as Batman and Robin are on an island full of crooks who are trying to decipher the clues to a criminal's secret loot stash hidden on said island.
You know
island.
That we're about to read Batman Becomes Bat Baby, so I don't know if that's the worst title ever or not.
Will they succeed? Well, they always do. But now the main event, Bat Baby and Robin, going for about $35 to $80 with a 6.5 CGC, I don't remember what that stands for, copy listed as $129 on eBay right fucking now.
Because, you know, I was really looking forward to that copy of Batman Becomes Bat Baby. I love the first page of this. And it's just a collage of what's going to happen in the issue. And it's the story of the year, Batman Becomes Bat-Baby. Is it really the story of the year? Is this the best you have to offer me, DC? Come on.
It is the story of the year.
Let's be honest. Come on. And one of the crooks is...
He's terrified, too.
There's two guys, and they're both very terrified, but one actually is able to stutter out. Look out. It's Bat-Baby and Robin. Robin still can't get first billing, and he's with a fucking child.
He looks so pissed on the cover, too.
He's very, like, grimacy.
And so Bat-Baby, with his rosy cheeks, is wearing short pants and socks.
Think of
overall, he's actually wearing Stewie's outfit from Family Guy.
I was thinking one of the guys from AC/DC.
Yes.
Oi.
That fits. Oi. Oi.
And the splash page for the issue is Bat Baby hanging on a giant like advertising balloon that's shaped like a tire. And now Robin gets first billing. Watch out, it's Robin and Bat Baby. And Robin's like, yeah, look at me. And of course, the crooks are going to shoot a child.
Yeah, like two children.
Yeah, we don't talk about the child endangerment of Robin as much as we probably should.
I think
we bring it up, but I don't know if we really... It's a constant threat, and the biggest abuser of this is Batman.
Well, now it's his turn to be the child abused.
So Batman and Robin get a tip to check out Nails Finley's gang. And you know what? If my name was Nails Finley, and that was my nickname, I'd be feeling pretty good about that. That makes me sound like I got some authority going.
I kept hearing it as Niels when you said it just now. It's Nails.
Nails Finley. Yeah, Nails Finley's some guy that does my taxes. Nails Finley is a hardened criminal.
He's also got a scientist working with him. What was his name? Garth.
The renegade scientist. Yeah, they call him the renegade scientist. So Batman and Robin are on the street looking into this hideout. And they've gotten a tip that Nails and his gang are up to something. They're robbing a jewelry store. And when they get there, they're somehow in more of a scientist lab. No, that's a hideout, sorry. They're in the hideout, and there's a bunch of like beakers and all the science stuff around. And then they notice our Garth, the renegade scientist. And the crooks are, Batman Robin, get him! And they break into a fight, and they try to stop Garth. And at the last second, Garth shoots this weird vacuum cleaner ray at Batman, and of course he gets caught in it.
He's disguised his mechanism as Gonzo. Just a big tube snout on it that shoots out green rays.
And when Robin sees this, holy Batman, you're shrinking! And there's a cloud of smoke, and the crooks run away instead of capitalizing on the confusion and actually capturing
Batman. Or just like
Robin,
stabbing them.
He's a child.
They could really do this and finish it, and they don't. Like, I don't want them to kill Batman or Robin. It'd be a short issue if they did. But I don't get how doing this and running away was part of their plan. It just seems very... It's like they wrote this story, and then they're like, you know what? We have to change this again. We can't do it. And instead of rewriting the whole story, they just kept bits and pieces that didn't work.
So our crooks run away, and it's like the dumbest shit. He picks up Batman so that because he's in his outfit, and
Batman shrunk, and now he's basically looks like a 4-year-old child. I think they even say 4-year-old child.
He's a little mister,
but his suit doesn't shrink. So apparently, it only shrinks organic matter and not his suit.
Remember that.
I have to think when that happens. What about, like, if Bruce had, like, fillings and everything? What happens with his teeth and what changes there? This man should be in agony. Like, he should have died from the stress of shrinking and becoming a child again. Because it's not just a shrinking ray. It's de-aging him.
Yeah.
And that should really
hurt. It's doing some shit to him.
I mean, I know it's fake science, but still, that's a problem to me.
Fake science. This is fake science.
There should be a bunch of gold fillings just on the ground or something. Unless Bruce has, like, amazing teeth.
I bet Bruce has, like, lost a ton of teeth and they're all, like, fake ones.
Oh, from fighting crime?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the... Even if he didn't, his adult teeth fall out and turn to baby teeth? Or they regress and then his baby... I don't know how this happens.
We get the line of the issue, though, which is, Robin, I never thought there'd be a time when you'd have to carry me in your arms like a baby.
Which implies that Batman carries Dick around like a little baby.
Like a little baby. Look at that little sleep, little baby.
And while Batman and Robin get away, the next day, apparently, the crooks had set up a camera to take pictures of Batman as a child, and the newspaper get this, and like, well,
I love,
we don't,
love
we don't,
this.
We don't want to do this, but we're
best, this is the best bit of the whole thing.
Why do you love
like,
it?
Well, I don't want to embarrass Batman, but the people have a right to know.
I kind of
why
a small amount of that I understand. It's the truth. People need to know what's happening, but at the same time, it doesn't. It's not like a
people
public
need to know what's happening.
It's not like a public official, like a politician. In, like, a weird Ponzi scheme or something. It's this vigilante guy that's down for the count. All you do is put in the city in jeopardy, and that's it. Like, there's
nobody
no plus
side. Needs to know that. And also, the story should be that there's this guy that can change
the
people
idea,
into babies. That should be causing a wide panic.
There should be some company somewhere that sees the potential in this, be like, it's a youth ray. We can monetize this.
I'd like to go back to being a child and do it all over again my intelligence.
The renegade scientist has no vision for his invention.
No.
The newspaper print this and the public is just in a tizzy. But Batman says, what's going to happen? This is terrible. And we see Alfred, one of the brief times that we've seen Alfred in our reading
he's
of this.
He's so happy.
He's like, I brought you some phone books.
This
so
is
you
like,
can
oh
sit
my
the table.
God, it's about time. I can raise him right this time.
He looks about 4. And I think they say in the issue he looks 4. That they draw him like a ad for some Fisher Price toys from around that time, like some Mattel, like baby Barbie kind of stuff. And they realize that he has the same, his mind is unfazed. It's not changed, even though it's shrunk and it should. And that he has the same strength he had before,
which
even though his
make
muscles.
Sense.
Are,
it's not how strength works. This isn't Dragon Ball Z.
Is this some weird, like, knockoff of the Atom's abilities and powers, which I don't think the version of the Atom that is more prominent now is even created at this point. But Batman, or Bruce specifically says, once I've trained my body to get used to being this size, we're going to go back out there. And when he does, he dresses like...
He's in black overalls with a Batman short sleeve t-shirt.
They're short overalls, like they're cut off at the knee.
Above the knee. Would not be able to go to high school wearing that. And then he's got little booties with socks.
And he's got his gloves, and he doesn't cover his arms at all, which is fine, because Robin doesn't fully cover. It's a short sleeve shirt and then gloves. And I guess
he is wearing more pants than Robin does.
He does wear more pants than Robin. I was going to give him a hard time for that, and then I realized he's more dressed than Dick is right now.
He has, like, yeah.
I understand, okay, I need to let people know that I'm still Batman and everything. Why don't you just give him pants? Like, why change his Batman outfit that much to actually resemble a child? Because he's undercutting himself a little bit instead of just making a smaller bat suit.
I think that the idea is that that's the point, is that he's undercutting himself. He's like, this doesn't bother me. I'll embrace it. But it's...
No one's going to see it
that way. It's so crazy. Well, actually, everybody does, though, because, like,
nobody is fazed by him. They'll just go, oh, the criminals are up there, bat boy, baby.
So I guess while Batman and Robin are trying to investigate where Neil deGrasse Tyson is,
get his helium.
So while they're trying to find the renegade scientist and the rest of the gang, they stumble on patrol. They stumble upon some crooks and a woman. Why does actually the woman actually says help? These bandits are going up that fire escape. Did they steal something of hers?
She's just they stole her purse.
Man, they're
you can see one of them in a purse.
They're small time crooks. Like why?
Very small time.
Why didn't they four guys to steal one lady's purse? Either
so
way,
they start chasing up the fire escape, and Bat Baby decides that his little legs are too small, and so he grabs onto an Acme tire display and rides it up.
And when he gets to the roof on this tire, the criminals see him, and he jumps onto this weird clothesline that's on the roof after the tire, and the crooks, you know, they shoot the balloon. And then they go to shoot Batman, and he's just too small and spry. They just get away. He's pulling some Dick Grayson kind of moves, but without as much acrobatics, I guess.
Yeah, he punches him to fucking back, though, so.
I don't need Robin to do this. I can take four men all by myself.
And so the newspaper headlines are streaming in. Bat Baby does okay for a kid. Bat Baby overcomes size and crooks.
So we're talking about how the press felt okay. We don't want to, you know.
No, he was saying that to justify it in his mind. He wanted to sensationalize this.
Then I guess that's why they call him Bat Baby and not just Batman has shrunk into a baby. They know it's Batman still. They're not going to call him Batman. I don't even think Batman says that he's Batman.
Group of assholes.
So then that story breaks. And the next day, Kathy Kane shows up and Batman...
Kathy Kane secretly bit the Batwoman.
I thought they knew each other considering Ace in a different episode as Bat-Hound came and got her. So I figured they all know each other.
They know each other, but she doesn't know that Batman is Bruce Wayne.
But Bat-Hound knows where Kathy Kane lives, a.k.a. Batwoman. That means they know her secret identity.
Yeah, they know hers.
Okay, but she's okay with not knowing theirs. Okay, that makes a little more sense.
Okay, this is what happens when you pick an episode to introduce Kathy Kane into, and then you pick like three issues randomly, and she happens to be in all of them.
The scene that's about to unfold is my favorite thing about the episode, the story, and it's just...
This is how you got rid of your wife, isn't it?
When I was getting ready for this episode, I was reading this in bed, and Tina was listening
just,
to...
I just imagine you just tittering to yourself.
Tina was like watching something on her iPad, and I shake her, and I make her pull the headphones out of her ears, and I'm like, look at this. So what unfolds is Kathy Kane shows up and Bruce and Dick are like, okay, we know the plan. Alfred, show her in. And when she comes into the house and towards the room that they're in.
It's called the Home Alone directive.
It's very much a Home Alone thing. It's like Home Alone 2 when he's in the shower.
No, it's when he has all those cardboard cutouts and one's on a train. Don't you remember that?
Yeah, I just watched Home Alone 2 recently, though.
Fair enough. Didn't you want me to watch that with you? No, that was somebody else that did. What's with that fucking movie? It's because Trump's in it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Go on.
So Kathy walks towards the sunroom, I guess, and she sees a shadow.
The kissing parlor.
Of Bruce kissing a woman, and Kathy just leaves the house in tears. And Bruce says she's so angry she'll stay away from here for quite a while because she doesn't want it. They don't want her to know that Bruce has shrunk and therefore knows that Bruce is Batman. Stay away from here for a while. When I'm normal again, I'll explain to her that that girl she saw was my cousin. You're fine with making out with your cousin? What? How is that the better scenario?
But that's so attractive.
You could tell her, one, he could just not be home. But instead, you go for this ploy. And somehow, kissing his cousin on the lips, like making out with his cousin, is better than making out with a consenting woman that he's not related to.
Kathy, it's okay. I'm not going to fuck my cousin.
We just like to make out a little bit, that's all.
Or, Alfred could have said, I'm sorry, he's away on a business trip because he's an important businessman.
There's so many plausible things, and instead they have a silhouette show into another room so she thinks that he's kissing his cousin. How is that a step up?
I do love how she's like, that playboy, that kissing bug. Ooh.
She's going to go from being upset to disgusted when he tells her this. I don't...
This might turn Batwoman into a lesbian.
When I... She's born that way.
That's true.
So they cut to talking to Gordon.
Speaking of homoeroticism, Gordon says, I've got a tip that Swap Smith is getting together every dollar he can to get his hands on those jewels they stole. Because apparently they stole jewels.
They were going to their hideout from a tip. So Bruce stakes out this pawn shop from a playground nearby. And he's just hanging out as a kid. He's like, good thing I'm a kid and I can hang out at this park. No one looks at me weird anymore.
And he plays around. Now, if this was like a modern Batman thing, this is one of the few scenes that I think would be really interesting. Because like Bruce never had a childhood. This could be him like, I suppose he did have a childhood.
Do you mean him hanging out by a playground or him being a child hanging
out? Just kind of like he's playing, he's interacting with other kids, something that he never had after his parents died. This is like something that they could turn into something.
They've touched on that in comics sometimes. Like,
yes.
I remember there being an old thing, I don't know if it was Batman versus Superman story from like 10 years ago or if it was a Trinity story where Bruce was basically Bruce at the age he was, at his normal age. Like he wasn't a baby, but he was just an adult. But his parents were still alive, and then they realized that they were in like a different universe or story, and it became Bruce knew the truth, but his body wasn't Batman, but his mind was Batman, like he in terms of training and abilities. And it was a chance to see him being with his parents and being happy and he obviously had a childhood in this version. And it would be nice seeing him, even as goofy as it is, like if this were a weird, what's those roses that Mongol uses in stories, like the Black Rose or whatever they're called. It puts you in like
Black Mercy.
Black Mercy. Put you in this dream state. If that was a story and he became a child
again. Well,
that's
again, in that story.
Is it?
Yeah, because Batman's like, oh, when, after he gets pulled off of him, he's like, I was in the movie theater. My dad fought off the assailant.
I don't remember that.
It's like a line.
Okay.
Oh, it's definitely in the Justice League cartoon. Maybe that's what that's from.
I think it is. I want to read more of those instances in a comic book. But either way, we'll move on. And eventually, Bruce sees someone of interest. Is it Nails himself?
I believe so.
He sees this guy while he's at the playground.
He's got a fedora, a cigarette, and a bow tie.
What he does is, I'll put on some roller skates really quick before this guy goes away, and I'll radio Robin. I'll have to yell really loud, and I'll have to roller skate behind this guy. He won't notice me, a child, skating behind him for blocks on end.
If you haven't noticed, the worst thing about being a kid to Batman is that his legs are short.
Yeah,
it's come
like
up
he's
a
got
couple
a,
different
he's
times.
He's got to make up speed.
He can beat the shit out of anybody, but like his little bitty legs ain't going to get there.
So they find Nail's new hideout, and Batman and Robin come into it from the skylight. And Robin and Batbaby, look out! They fight everybody, and at some point, I don't know how this happened.
There is nothing that explains this at all. He just rides down, like, it's not stairs, it's an embankment.
It's like a little slope.
It's handy friendly. And he rides down like a fucking
a riding horse has
a hobby horse
on it. Yeah.
For no reason. And then Robin's not outdone. He just throws a harp at people.
You know what? I was so enamored by the horse. I didn't think about the harp being a weird placement. Where are these things coming from? I'd rather there be like a weird hi-fi show. Because that would at least explain why there are giant things around, sort of.
Just these like weird antiques that they're throwing at people.
I guess it's because it's a swap place. Or they go back to the swap place? But that can't be the hideout. Why is there a horse?
So
if it wasn't for his that horse, I wouldn't have spent that first year in college.
It's true.
I love that joke.
So apparently the comic is just like, fuck this, we're done. So Robin throws a bookcase on them. And then you turn around and Batman's just like, use the thing while you guys weren't looking.
Yeah, like, we had this story that was going to be like 15 pages. Well, you got 9. Okay, we're gonna keep the hobby horse.
Damn you, Casey the cop, for taking our spot.
We're going to keep the hobby horse. We're not going to show him getting on it. We're going to show the harp, but we're not going to show where that came from. We're going to show Batman turning back, or we're going to show Batman being Batman again, but not the transformation or turning on the machine or him changing his clothes. By the way, when Batman turns back into Batman, he has his regular outfit on.
He says, I discarded my Batbaby garb and slipped on this plastic costume that I folded into a pants pocket. That's crazy shit.
Did the crooks just wait while he did that?
Yes.
Why would a plastic... Okay, guys, I'm going to change my outfit and I got a plastic costume. Don't look at my face when I do it.
Look, Barry Allen was very nice to throw this costume into this ring for me. I only get he's not going to do it a lot, so
and
I'm going to use this plastic. And then after the issue, Plastic Man pops off of his dick and is like, that was fun, Bruce. I'll help you anytime you want.
But they subdue the crooks once he becomes Batman again and puts on a plastic costume.
Like
and
in a panel,
do
though.
That.
This is how quick it is.
And then in the very next panel.
The story is done in three panels.
And the very next panel, it's the outfit again. Like, we'll never forget this. And they have it hanging up next to his dad's first Batman costume because that's a place of honor, I guess.
Yeah.
They don't show that, but
you
that's
know
what
in
I
the '60s,
think.
Like TV series, like the cartoon opening,
yeah,
where you see like Batman's face and Robin's face, and they're smiling. It ends like that. They're so fucking happy to have this brief childhood memento.
I know I was joking about it, but I honestly think that might have been what happened. Is they're told, "Hey, you got like 13 pages," and then someone came through and was like, "Hey, we had actually a bunch of advertisers. We overbooked. You got 9 pages now." And they're like, oh, shit.
Guys, the sales are down for The Unexpected House of Mystery and Greatest Mystery, Greatest Adventure, so we need an ad at the bottom. They are today's most electrifying magazines.
Instead of rewriting the story, maybe they didn't have time for it. They're like, okay, we're going to pick 3 or 4 panels that encompass the very tail end of the story. It's like what we do when we're telling you guys what's happened. We just start off really strong.
Depending on how bored we get with it.
And then how bored we get of it, we just kind of do bullet points toward the end. Except a publisher did that, not just us. Besides for the absurd, maybe you like the absurdity of how short or how quick that ended. How'd you like our Bat Baby story?
There's, like I said, like the only thing that we really see that they, I'm not going to say that this is going to be a deep look, psychological look into the mind of Batman. Obviously it's not at this time, but like they never do like anything with it other than he's got little teeny legs. It's not story of the century material.
Actually, I would have kind of liked a quick panel, like Bruce looking over his body, and I guess they sort of do it, but really looking at like a part of him going, I remember this scar from when I stopped like my first criminal or training or anything, and they don't. They just a quick, hey, my body's young again, and that's it. But a little glimpse of like him remembering a particular scar would have been kind of fun to me. And that's something they probably do in stories now. I can't remember like a particular issue, but I know they've
probably.
I know they've done stuff like that before. And the other thing that I want to talk, because I like the story quite a bit. It's fun. The kissing,
it's stupid.
It's stupid, but it's fun stupid. And the kissing cousins thing is the most absurd part.
I like how the kissing cousins thing has like no basis on anything, but that's what they had to keep. We don't have a good resolution, but we better keep that kissing cousins bit.
There's two things weird about it. One, hey, we have to cut a bunch of stuff out of the story, but I'll be damned if we cut that kissing cousins part of it out. And two, they had to put that line in that panel. It wasn't just keep that element of the story. Or keeping anything of it. It's just that we're going to use that kissing cousins like wording. We're not going to cut that either. Everything's staying.
It was odd, though, when Robin says, look, someone's attractive cousin. That's how they got the drop on the bad guys.
The other thing that I thought was kind of odd, and this was after kind of thinking about it a little while, I guess the editor of the newspaper that got those pictures of Batman as a child, they only show the picture of Batman post-change. They don't show Batman actually changing. So why do they believe that? How is it more practical or believable for them to say, oh, Batman's obviously a child now, instead of, oh, someone dressed a kid up in a Batman outfit. It's too big for him.
Yeah, these known criminals.
Why wouldn't you just think, oh, that's obviously
John,
a fake
the public
photo.
Has a right to know. So speaking of the public, let's end with a letter to the Batcave from a Pamela Drake. Just had a baby, Miss Drake. She'll die soon, don't worry about it. Dear editor, in your last letters page, you described how Batman uses ultraviolet light to bring out substances that are invisible to the naked eye. Isn't infrared light used for the same purposes? I hope somebody got fired for that blunder. And then their response is basically, yeah, you can use both of them.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think it is either. Moving on.
Next up, we have Batman 162, Batman Creature.
So, the Batman creature from Batman 162. But let's see what was happening in 1962, the year of our Lord. March 10th, frequent background noise while I type these things, Sound of Silence was recorded. March 14th, Jack Ruby was sentenced to death row for the murder of Lee Harvey Oswald. He would die in 1967, waiting for a retrial after a successful appeal overturned the verdict. And March 15th, Yale University staged a 3-day anti-war conference that eventually led to a March 2 movement in New York City. It is often cited as the first sign of the growing anti-war movement with college-age students that would dominate the rest of the decade.
So you had two stories that had Lee Harvey Oswald in it.
Yes.
For the intro. Was that happenstance?
It's more of, I was like, it's kind of like when I told you about Kennedy and how he was doing, they got into like the CIA talk where they had actually like paid by other people to murder. I'm trying kind of show that like the good wholesome times that we have kind of
You're giving a little bit of a contrast.
Kind of darkening. We got the Vietnam Wars starting to, police action. I don't think we've gotten into Vietnam at this point yet, but that was something my mom always was like, it wasn't a war, it was a police action, because she was so bitter about it still.
Why is she bitter about it? Like, she just believes
Well, she grew up in that era. She was a young teenager in the 70s.
I'm not trying to argue your mom's historical lineage at all. It's just,
but no, it's just something that like people like you and my age don't really think about, the fact that like these things are seen in a different, like, it's like Nixon. What do you know about Nixon?
Super paranoid. I actually watched a little bit of a documentary thing about him. Very paranoid.
But paranoid.
He was also very smart and planning, but his paranoia just got the better of him.
He was paranoid, and if you ask people from like our parents' generation, he was a monster, right?
Yeah, Tricky Dick is something that comes to mind.
But if you look at kind of our generation, he was the guy that got impeached. We don't feel terrible about it because it wasn't something that we lived through. At the time, it was the first sign of, like, it was a big proponent of, like, we are being betrayed by our public officials, right? So one of the reasons that some of the stuff that I do is, like, I look for things that are, like, space race. Unless I think of something jokey, like the Mothra thing, I thought that. But, like, you know, space race is still going on, even though, I mean, nuclear bombs are being detonated all the time. Everybody's arming up. But we are seeing, the public is starting to kind of notice that these things that were always, like, ironclad, like, you look at it like our wartime things.
Yeah.
Batman and Robin were fighting for the good old USA. They were getting war
It was
bonds.
More black and white.
It was more black and white.
And now it's turning grayer.
And now, you know, we don't need to be in this war that is losing an ungodly amount of lives because it was just a proxy war between the Cold War. We have a man that was inspiring hope in President Kennedy was assassinated.
He was?
A couple of times. We have, like, we're definitely seeing, like, a darkening of America. We are getting into that counterculture. We're getting into, you know, the hippie movement and protesting and burning our draft cards and all that stuff, which a decade before, you wouldn't see that as much.
We might not do it, but when we do kind of another character sort of roundup episode, I might want to suggest a Hawk and Dove story, actually.
We will. John's using it. so that's kind of why these ones are the way they are. I'm kind of showing that, you know, the times they are a-changing, which has probably been released around this time as well.
So let's lighten this up with Batman 162, the Batman creature.
Well, the two tails.
That cover is great.
Our two tails
cover
were penciled by Sheldon with inks by Paris, and it's written by Dave Wood.
That's a new one.
You're taking my boy's spot. So we also have in this issue Robin's secret identity, where Robin is sick of not getting any real credit for being an Olympic grade athlete. So he disguises himself as Danny to show off, but he wangs his head and loses his memory. He happens to run into Batman while wandering around, and Batman tells him to fuck off. Until he gets home and Alfred mentions that his ward is missing. He finds Danny again and tells him to be Robin. And he does. So problem solved. Didn't even need to throw a coconut on his head.
Yeah, they like doing this amnesia stuff a lot.
A lot.
I did read a little bit of the story and I was just, oh wow, Dick Grayson's in high school. He still looks like he, for the most part, he still looks like he did, what, 10 years ago at this point? When he was like 10?
Yeah,
it is longer.
I still think of him as a 12-year-old.
And all of a sudden, he's a high school kid.
Yeah.
So they're moving that needle.
Still wears those little pants.
They're moving that needle of age and making it more ambiguous as time goes on, and they're trying not to define it as hard as they
were before. By the 70s, we're going to be in college.
Yeah, I remember reading an in-between story where he had like his Robin scooter, and he was driving around after a college class.
Picking up chicks and getting all kinds of mess.
Because when I pick up chicks, it's a scooter.
Picking up chicks because he's a Robin. So, the Batman creature. The Incredible Hulk was created in 1962 by Jack Kirby and some other guy. But before we begin, we also have a page of strange old laws. In Massachusetts, they had a law making it a crime to lounge on the shelves of a bakery. Portsmouth, Ohio prohibited any citizen from keeping a dog, except a butcher. In Alabama, it is still a crime to bite your landlord. And the most pertinent to our podcast, in Fredericksburg, Virginia, it prohibits newsboys from crying extra on the streets.
Did you say this was all at the same time, or are these just different random laws?
Different random laws. Have you ever, okay. like, when you're going
through
these issues?
Because the dog thing, I was like, if they made that law in, like, 1950, whatever this issue is, that's a really weird law to have.
Well, that's why, like, if you notice, like, one of them said that it's still illegal to bite your mailman, well, it's assault, so it should be illegal everywhere, but... You ever notice that these issues have, like, these weird little one-page stories? I always read them in case we're going to, I'm just going to throw them in and just confuse you. Because I like to not tell you when I do
I try to notice some of the ads. I don't always notice everything. I noticed the one that's in the very beginning of this issue, but...
Yeah, that's in a couple of them. All right, so tell me all about the Batman creature.
The cover reminds me of a scene that we had in the Monster Men story a few episodes back. Where
another callback to the Monster Man story will be in there later, too.
No kidding. It's just a big front cover of Batman as a huge, weird ape monkey creature, and his suit expands to the size that he is now, and he's just on top of a building while fighter jets are blowing past, trying to shoot Batman off the building.
For
and
some
Robin
reason,
going, no, no, that's Batman, don't do it.
For some reason, instead of the squiggle that's usually on his chest, it's actually a bat signal. And also, it was very nice of the police to like throw toy planes at him instead of real ones. There's some definite space sizing issues here.
The angles don't really match up. I didn't think about that. I like how Robin's yelling at these fighter jets like they're going to hear him.
They're also shooting the pole he's holding on to, not him.
I can understand that. Like, aiming while you're flying a jet, I assume, is very difficult.
So let's get back to the Batman creature with Kathy Kane, because I didn't know she was in this one, too.
What about Boys Men, my new Dynaflex method? It's a weird, buff, strongman guy, like, the kind of image you'd see in the 50s of a strong man.
You mean Mike Miracle?
Oh, it is. Wrong.
I do love how there's a picture of him like looking like a badass with his arms crossed, and then like at the bottom there's a smaller, the same picture, but they flipped it.
It looks like somebody just put his head on somebody else's body, and I don't know if that's true or not. That's or if it's just the photography. The head doesn't quite match the rest of the body, and I just don't know if that's lighting or not.
Cost you $2 to do this, though.
That's expensive when the issue was 12 cents.
That is expensive. All right, so let's get to this Bob Kane, his name's right there, Penn story.
Bob Kane had a lot to do with it, sure.
Bob Kane has not been in the last two issues. I think he's done. I'm pretty sure that, well, actually, not to look behind the curtain, but we're actually, our next two issues are going to be issue-length stories. So this is actually after them, this one is, in the timeline. So this is going to be our last "quote unquote Silver Age story." We still got two more we're going to cover, though.
And the first page is this giant Batman creature on the street, kind of terrorizing, going after Batwoman, and Robin just warning her, like, "Stay back. He's, you know, he might attack you."
And also, it's interesting that we were talking about Nixon briefly because Batman is yelling out "Aroo!"
And the story proper starts off with two very animal-looking men in suits, just attacking people in a bank.
I don't know why, but there's this one guy that is dressed in a orange bank. He's wearing a bank. He's dressed in an orange suit and he has a mustache. He is so interesting to me for some reason.
And like I said before, the criminals look very human, but their mannerisms are very animal-like. They're kind of doing the aru sounds and they're kind of hunched a little bit. And there's one of them is a redheaded man with a mustache, so apparently they shave him. And he just looks very lion-like, while the other guy has more of like a caveman monkey-type features when you look at his face. And they just wreck the whole bank, and they grab a bunch of money, and they bolt out of there. And Batman and Robin are responding to the robbery when they meet him outside.
The lion guy bites off somebody's billy club. And
just got a message.
So the gorilla like ties him up in, which is another thing I think happened in the Monster Man, wasn't it? Ties him up in a lamppost.
Yeah. Whenever there's a very strong person or creature, they take a lamppost and they use it to some degree. We have the Monster Men that just started whipping people with this giant lamppost. We had Batman when he was on Planet X and basically being Superman, grabbing another lamppost and turning into a lasso. And now we have these criminals tying up Batman and Robin with a lamppost.
Well, when you're a kid and you're walking around, you keep thinking, there's no way anyone could ever bend that lamppost.
And then you prove them wrong.
You prove them wrong because you spend your $2. So we go back to the hideout, which is on the outskirts of Gotham.
Because then the crooks get away and they meet their master, I guess?
I guess.
It's, what's this guy's name? Bongo? No. Rorsch? Rorsch is his name?
Rorsch.
Basically, the two guys that robbed the bank have come back. And a henchman puts them back away into their cages. And the henchman informs the boss of that they're back and we're ready for the next crime on his list. And he says Toro the Bull and Speedy the Jaguar will be the next animal humans. Rorsch, ha ha ha, fetch. Oh, he's not. That's the henchman's
name.
That's
the henchman.
What's that guy's name?
Doesn't matter. He's barely in the story.
Basically, what's happening is there's a scientist that's shooting animals with ray guns again, and they're turning them into humans instead of babies. And that's the essential
bit of it.
It's the
same scientist, I'm assuming.
Maybe it's the renegade scientist, but when the henchman talks to our scientist and they show his face, it just looks like he is really high off of some kind of opiate.
He's very well he's very scary looking.
His eyes are just like he is on something. Like he's trying to chase that high is what it looks like to me.
So we turn the Jaguar and the Bull into people, but luckily they have diapers on when they get turned into people. So they put them in some suits and just send them to...
And they're in the outskirts of Gotham, and they have a bunch of animal cages like in a ravine, and they have some camouflage over top of them so they can like no one can see them from the air. And they've trained all these basic zoo animals to do these robberies because those zoo animals will know that once they have human appendages, they'll know how to walk and run and commit acts of crime.
They seem to imply that they also drove there.
They do.
And also, there's this great bit where he goes...
They're robbing a ball, a reception.
But like before he does, he goes, "Now, my animal henchman, I have just the job to suit your, shall we say, special talents? Ha ha." And then, like, the Bull and the Jaguar just both snort like they know what he's talking about.
Does the raid make the animals more intelligent? Because they say that they train the animals, so there's some level of intelligence.
It's somewhat implied, but at the same time, you can't give sentience to something and have it, like...
automatically just go with it?
Yeah. Like, if I was shrunk down to the size of, like, a mouse, my cat would eat me.
Yeah, but cats are dicks. Like, your cat... Yeah. If you died in your apartment and your cat had nothing else to eat, your cat would eat you now.
So, they go into a ballroom, and he uses his Jaguar powers to quickly grab all the jewels. And then the Bull quickly knocks the door open.
I don't know why they picked that for the robbery as opposed to a different bank or a jewelry store or anything where they could get more money quicker. But they pick it, and when they escape or leave the building, Batman and Robin are back on the scene.
They're very lucky with all this.
They are. And they're having a hard time wrangling these human animals, which Batman and Robin already instantaneously know, these are hybrids. They don't even, like, question the fact
they
that
they know exactly what they are, too. It's like, that looks like a jaguar and a bull.
Yeah, with no prior knowledge.
Don't worry,
experience.
Guys, we're paying attention.
It's that detective work that you never actually see or witness.
The way his snout goes is just like the snout of the rare African pilly bull.
Sure. Whatever you say, Robin. But when they notice that they're a bull and a jaguar, Robin takes off his...
your shirt still on.
Robin takes off his cape, and he tries to lure the bull over, which, you know what? All the things that they do, they couldn't just make the inside of his cape red or something to make it more... It's a yellow cape.
Doesn't take off his vest.
Yeah, like, why wouldn't he just go for... So they trick a fake human bull thing, and one point, Robin is able to get the jaguar while the bull runs off, I think it was?
No, it's the bull, because the bull, like, charges into him and knocks him into trash, where he belongs.
Yeah, and Batman's on the heels of the other one, and he follows them to
the... He gets
the
into the Whirly Bat, which is our first appearance of it. Yeah, it's, like, the dumbest thing to play in as a Lego Batman.
So, using the Whirly Bat, he tracks the animal... human animal.
Who is smart enough to, like, trap him and, like, jump out of a tree at him. It's like in the 1998 Godzilla movie, where, like, the police are, like, not the police, the army is, like, trying to get Godzilla with helicopters, and he's able to make a trap for them. He's a fucking animal. You want me to talk about Godzilla, so I threw it in.
I know, it's just so bad. Eventually, Batman actually finds the hideout. And once there, our evil scientist person that technically didn't get named releases a couple of animals, or is about to release an animal, and instead shoots Batman with the human ray.
Because a bobcat tells him that he's in.
Yeah, so instead of turning... Hey, guys, how you doing?
I don't really get into movies that much. I'm happy to be here.
I just have a hard time. I don't like it's mean to me.
You dudes are setting a bad example.
I used to be married to Nikki Cox.
It's punching above your weight, dude.
I've been about six Ace Academy movies.
You ever see that? I'm not even doing it well anymore.
Hey, guys.
Just comes up and like, you ever see Police Academy? I was in those.
Batman, a human, gets hit by a ray that turns animals human. So what that does, of course, is turn him into a giant creature.
And he's all mad.
He's not just mad. His suit grows with him. And I said that before, but his suit grows with him and his belt does too. Like, there's no part of him. Like, how cool would it have been to design this creature and then have a bunch of tears in his costume? Like, have fun with it if you're going
to
do it.
You just want a big floppy dick to be hanging out, don't you, John? Big floppy animal dick. So, speaking of dick, he gets...
They let Batman run away. Like, they don't try to cage him or have him work for him. They just let Batman turn into an animal and run away.
Batman was trying to radio Dick to tell him where he was, and he got transformed. And so, at that moment that he gets transformed, the bad guy says, we've just turned him into a Batman creature, even though they were there for that. So Robin knows he's a Batman creature. That was important.
It was, but at the same time, I initially glossed over it. So
also, like, we see a shot of the Batmobile, and Robin's driving it.
He's never allowed to drive it before.
He's like 12.
To be fair, when they made that Bat spaceship when they went to the future, Robin was flying it and not Batman.
Yeah, but like Robin 2 was flying it and he killed them both.
True enough.
Oh, that's the one that you didn't read that I did and it was really stupid.
So the Batman creature, as is normal fashion, starts wrecking up the town and grabs a lamppost, classically enough, and then just keeps running and eventually does a Monster Man kind of thing where he starts climbing a building and Robin gets there and says, Batwoman, because she just arrived on the scene, watch out. I have to reason with Batman if I can at all. And if you can, hold off all the cops on the ground. And Batwoman's like, sure, they'll listen to me. A vigilante woman in the 50s. They'll listen to me.
This woman in the 50s. Excuse me, ma'am. Where are these? I heard what you said, ma'am. And we'll try to coordinate off. But I have a question for you. Where are those fresh baked cookies that you said you would have?
That's a very lovely opinion you have, Batwoman. Is your husband around?
Yeah, is there a man I can talk to?
Yeah.
Like, is Robin? Just where's Batman again? You're not listening. He's up there. But
fighting the creature? No, he is the creature. Sure, ma'am. Whatever you say. Batwoman's crazy. So after a brief ad from Sergeant Rock for his first big war annual, we're back to Strange Old Laws. No, well, two pages later, we're back to the story.
Yeah, I already read that. Sergeant Rock has, like, way better drawers, too.
No kidding.
Look at him.
Look at that chiseled jaw.
He looks so mad.
He cut glass with that chin.
Because his best friends just died. Sam. Who's he fighting, actually?
Viet Cong.
I don't think that he would be over there, though. No, it's just kind of, you can't really see what he's fighting. That would be something to look up.
The Island of Armored, I think it's just random.
Island of Armored Turtles?
Armored Giants. I think it's just random, non-existent, like, fictitious enemies.
It's just like, it's like if there was you're in a big metropolitan city and there was, like, I don't know, a Batman creature running around, you think they'd send him in?
I like how we want to talk about Sergeant Rock more than we do this issue.
There's kind of not a lot to it. It's like a bunch of, like,
it's a
set pieces that we keep going to.
It's the longest story out of the three that we're talking about, but has the least going on.
The least really happens.
Yeah, like,
he climbs up
to
King Kong.
We sold too much. We sold too much advertising space in that other comic where we cut out a bunch of panels. You have to, like, stretch this one out. You have to draw a bunch of panels of Batman just on a building.
But it's like we go up to the top of Gotham State Building or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So that's our first set piece. We've taken a page to do that, and instead of shooting him down, they tell him it's Batman not to shoot him. And so what's he do? He climbs back down.
The thing is, I like that.
Like, how shitty would King Kong have been if, like, he climbs up there and it's just like, oh, this is pretty fun. I guess I'll go down again.
They really kind of undercut that scene, don't they?
Like, this is it's, what they were advertising. It's basically like, this is the trailer shot. Because that's what they have on the front issue.
Yeah, and they let you down with it because nothing happens there. Like, there should have been more stress in that scene. He should be turning back into a human in that scene of being on top of this building.
It would have been way more fun.
But the jet fighters are blowing past Batman and they're shooting the pole again. And Robin says, "What? Why are you shooting at him?" And one of the guys flying the jet, and you see it in the panel, it's Robin, Batman's partner. Not sidekick, partner. He must know what he's saying. Cease fire. Again, this is another thing where Batman turns into something and everyone's just like, well, that's plausible. Sure, why not?
Isn't that guy turned into a baby last week?
I guess if they could prove the
baby story. We've been skipping
around.
He turns into a lot of shit, I think.
If they can prove the baby story, I guess everything else, you're like, oh, yeah, sure, that happens. There's a guy that likes gold and just runs around in golden cars given to Indian princes and stuff. Absolutely. This is perfectly fine.
So he runs into Batwoman, who's desperately trying to show everybody that she can have a career and still be a full-time mom.
And then she starts feeding Batman her cookies.
So he comes down and he notices Batwoman, and because she's a pretty lady, he decides not to attack her, I guess, because he loves her? I don't know.
I guess he recognizes her and not Robin.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time with Robin, though, but
he must really like her. My friend, I had to tell her something. I'm a creature. I can't remember. I have to tell her I made up with my cousin.
That would be great if that's what he started doing.
Like, as a monster, he's just trying to mime, like, smooch, smooch, smooch.
So she steals some food from a food cart. Yeah. And, that
makes
him happy.
Women don't have their own money.
No, she. What do you think's in that purse? Money? That's obviously crime-fighting techniques.
No, it's just her compact mirror so she can blow it into criminals' faces.
And her hair net, which we kind of glossed over in the last issue.
Was that?
Oh, that's at the end of this one.
No, you ruined it.
Yep, sorry.
Now that Batman is kind of, as a creature with not a very strong mind, they have him kind of under control, and they go to stop another set of animal crooks, which I don't know what happened to these ones that got turned human, because they look horrific.
One of them looks like an old lady.
Yeah, and the other one looks like just a mole person.
He's an alligator and a polar bear, I guess.
They did such a good job with the first four animal creatures, like making them look human and still having them easily be recognizable as the animal they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And they just dropped the ball so much on these last two. It's like the editor was like, hey, put two more guys in there. Make the page longer. Like, I don't have time to design these characters.
But at the same time, like, you got, okay, John, let's pump some brakes. You have the ability to choose any animal you want to commit a crime, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you pick an alligator and a polar bear? An alligator, do you know what an alligator does?
Eats things?
He basically just kind of
sits there.
He sits there. Have you ever gone to the worst part of going to John Ball Zoo? You can now figure out where we live. Is that whenever you go see the alligators, they were like in a fish tank and they never moved at all.
What would be, if you had this human ray, besides for monetizing it, and you were going to commit crimes with animals, what animals would you use to actually do these? It'd probably be smarter just to do a dog, like use a dog and turn him human or something. If you're dead set on turning a creature
human.
Because he
can fetch things. Or an octopus, because he can grab a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, but if it's a human, it'd still have two arms.
He'd have like a bunch of arms. Yeah, octa arms.
Be like a Dr. Octopus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of his back.
Yeah, I guess I would go with a dog and you'd use an octopus. I guess the octopus is better than an alligator some way, but
I would use a betta fish because they're beautiful and deadly.
And they hate each other, so you can only use one at a time.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? A fish can learn how to walk, no problem. So when they're at the pier and they're trying to stop this alligator and polar bear, the Batman creature has joined Batwoman and Robin, and they use the Batman creature to stop the crooks, and they catch them, and then the Batman runs off. And
he runs back to where he got made, because apparently that's his home.
And it's weird how they show it. They show Batwoman, Ace, and Robin on the scene first. And when they get there, our crook team has released all the other animals from the cages. So there's a tiger, a rhino, a bunch of other creatures just taking everything on. Ace is going to get mauled.
He's going to get mauled, and he's not going to be telling us jokes.
and Batman has instinctively run back onto the scene, and he just starts wailing on that rhino.
He does the best thing of anything we've seen so far, and he picks up a rhino and he throws it into an endangered tiger, javelin style.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of the few times that he's broken up a casino and he just like picks up a roulette table and smashes it down.
So the henchman gets snared up in Batwoman's hairnet, as she calls it.
I just read, I snared one of these criminals with my net.
Nope.
But it says, I snared one of these criminals with my hairnet.
As well as I'll get into next issue, she uses compacts and lipsticks and stuff too.
There's some kind of progress. I mean, she's wearing pants at least.
Yeah, she's not doing this the 60s Star Trek skirt thing.
Yeah.
That was empowering, damn it.
So,
and I'm down the other one, Batwoman.
Our team has subdued everyone. You see Ace running around, but he never actually takes any action, which is a missed opportunity.
Could dropkick somebody.
And then while after they subdue the crooks, they shoot Batman with the ray because they understand this science and they know when they hit Batman with this ray, it will turn him back into a human instead of turning him further into a creature. I guess this is like a reverse like flip switch on the,
well,
on the bottom
I mean,
of it somewhere.
They turn the people back from being animal people, so.
Sure.
So they do that, and they all laugh about it. The end.
How'd you like the story?
Like we said, it's basically set pieces that we just go back and forth to. It's not very good, though.
Like we said before, this is a story where not a lot happens, but it's the longest one.
It's strife with incident.
It's 16 pages. Well, 15 and like 3/4 of a page, because I have to do ads for Detective Comics and World's Finest in it. But it's just, there's so much and so little that happens at the same time. It's just, I think they waste their opportunities with what they're showing. They don't need that last crime where they're stopping the alligator and the polar bear at all. They could have put more scenes of like Batman and Robin really wrestling on top of that roof with the situation. They could have put more opportunities where Bat-Hound is actually doing something. And they just don't. They just kind of waste it. To me, it's definitely a step down from Bat-Baby. I'd rather read Bat-Baby than Batman Creature on a regular basis. Like, if you told me that was the new ongoing, I'd buy into it.
You want to read another editor's
note?
Oh, that was okay. Dear editor, the November issue of Batman was half sensational, half failure. The great Clayface Joker feud was one of the greatest stories ever printed. I've read it. It's not that great.
Well, when you have issues like
I suppose.
Batman Batmite.
It was one of the... It was a natural to have four of the Batman team battle two of the greatest criminals that have rampaged through the pages of Batman comic. I'm assuming that Ace and Batwoman show up in that one, too. I would like to see more stories of that kind. Not so for the second story, Boyhood of Bruce Wayne Jr., which was a pain to read. I had to force myself through it. But of course, the first story made up for it. The Clayface Joker feud will go into the Hall of Fame alongside Rip Van Batman and the Batman Robot. Two stories we did not cover because the histories of time have not been as kind to them.
No kidding. Do I have opinions like that now? Like, I actually like the current Batman and regular Batman ongoing right now. There's been the whole storyline where Batman and Catwoman are now engaged. They're going to get married. They actually elaborate on the relationship, and it's finally come to a point in a Batman story where I actually like Catwoman. I actually condone the relationship. It's
condone.
Well, before I was like, well, this is just a waste. They're just going to not going to
end up. Batman, you can't possibly marry a woman made out of cats.
They're not going to end up together, all this other stuff. But the way they wrote it and the way they made me like Catwoman, how they wrote her. And it was something where I was like, I want to care about this relationship. I want to keep reading it. And then there's going to be what they're calling the storyline of Super Buddies, where Selina Kyle, Bruce Wayne, Clark Kent, and Lois Lane are all going to go on a double date together. And I'm super looking forward to that. And that might not be a story that is shown with positivity in the future. But right now, it's goofy. It's fun to read. It's only an issue in, but it's very promising. And I don't have to force myself to read it. Unlike having to try to force myself to read Batman Rip Van Winkle stories.
And with that, let's go back to the aftermath. Well, that does it for another thrilling, in quotation marks, issue of Superstitious and Cowardly. Did you have fun, Zoot Zoot?
Oh, yes!
Okay.
Why don't you tell our readers what's in store next issue?
No, fuck off!
Oh, you rascal that only I can see and is slowly driving a wedge between me and all those I hold dear.
You gotta stop doing this to yourself, Chris.
Well, it seems... Shut up, Zuzu. Well, it seems... In the next issue, we will be transported to another world populated by aliens, law enforcement officers, and... love? Get captured by 1963's Prisoner of Three Worlds from Batman 153. It's a story so long, I mean great, that it takes up a whole issue. Well, John, why don't you tell our Robin's regulars how they can keep in touch? What, they're too good to call? We worry.
Listeners can find us on Twitter. We are at SACBatPod. You can use that as a hashtag, or if you'd like, you can use hashtag Robin's Regulars to talk about us or the show. Or you can email us at sac.alfred@gmail.com. We love to hear suggestions for future episodes, see artwork or other Batman subjects that you want to talk about or show us. And SAC episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find a full list on our website listed in the description below. And with that, I've been John Pfeiffer.
And I've been Chris Winia. Bye, 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 bye.
Bye, 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 bye.
John is just an NSYNC fan. He tries to put bye, bye, bye in like everything he does.
If I did that, Tina would actually listen. Bye, bye.
She might actually. Bye.
Cut all this out.
Yeah, I know. That's why I kind of kept going.